Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this satsang, this radio program that we love to call satsang, is being recorded for February 24th, 2018. I'm very grateful you're listening. I love getting your cards, your emails. They're very, very important. Your questions, I'm deeply moved that you care enough to ask me. Take the time out of your day to do this. I understand we're all very busy, but wow. I'm really enjoying the questions I'm getting, and I want to again thank you for your generosity and kindness. I want to thank my sponsors for making this possible. These radio programs, my TV programs that you might be watching on my website at aspire.org, are all there because of the generosity of my sponsors, the kindness of them. And right now we're featuring and showing programs I did years ago on the beautiful series of Gibran, Cahil Gibran, on the prophet. And I hope you will go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look. You will see it on the main page, the Gibran series, Living the Life. And just click on it and it'll take you right there on the website. You can watch the programs. I think we're up to two now. There's eight in a series. And for those of you who are sponsors, all of the discourses that I did for that series are available on the website at aspire.org. If you're a sponsor, you get them for free and you get to listen to them. And I hope you will listen to them and find them meaningful, especially in this world today that we're living in. It couldn't be more important. Well, I'm going to do a little potpourri today, okay? And the whole idea is what the world needs now. And love, sweet love, is something that I just don't think that the world is much interested in. But anyway, here are the questions I received in the last few weeks. And I'm hoping that you will find them of interest and value to your life, as I do to my own. I really do. I think when people ask questions like this, it is very meaningful. At least they're thinking, and they're going, in my opinion, in the right direction to ask questions that are pertinent to our lives. First one comes from Karen, and she lives in Los Angeles. I've watched you for many years, Greg, and have loved your TV programs and your radio programs. You help more people than you may know. Well, maybe that's true. That's probably true, but I don't know. What does the world need now? As the song goes, I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say, Karen. Oh, there's so many things the world needs now, but the one thing is what Marianne Faithfull wrote: what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It is a very true statement. We have a great deal of difficulty with love because we treat it as a commodity. It's something that we can, market, something that we can inside of ourselves try to believe in or pretend exists through emotionality. And emotions, of course, have nothing to do with love. So what do we really need? We need so many things going on inside of us to stop. That's the best way I can probably say it. I shouldn't mince my words here, should I? There is an argument going on within you and me, and this argument has been going on since the moment we were born. And it will continue on as long as we are in a human carcass. This very interesting yet mundane conversation that is going on within us goes on without words at times. But much of the time, we hear the overtones of this conversation through thought. And as long as we're sitting there thinking, you know, with our brain and not really understanding where our thoughts are coming from, just accepting them as they come and thinking that this is what we have to deal with or this is what our lives are all about, we are totally, totally missing. So I'm going to give you what the world needs now, one of the things at least, and this is from my perspective, okay? The first thing is this conversation that is going on can't be stopped. It is a conversation between your DNA and your genetic nature, your genetic disposition. So your DNA is screaming and yelling at you, telling you, you need this, you need to do that, you need more money, you need more security. You need a different person in your life. You need a mate. You need children. You need blah, 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 blah. All of these desires go on and on and on within us. And we wonder where the desires come from. Well, they come from the basics of my DNA. And then my genetic nature, my ancestryhood, all those legions and legions of people that live inside of my body start to answer the call of my DNA. And they start screaming back, well, you know, we'll go out and we'll earn this amount of money, or we'll go out and find this person, or we'll have babies, or we'll have a new house, or everything to try to prove to the DNA that we can survive and that we're worthy of survival. Now, most people like to believe and think that this is all occurring as an authority figure to our parents. In other words, you know, your mother and father are doing this. But I have found this not to be true in my practice. I have found that I maybe project the face of my mother and father on my DNA, but basically it's my DNA. It's my DNA screaming and saying that in its insatiable voice, you're not enough, you need to go out and do this, you're not enough, you need to go out and get that, you're not enough, you need to da-da-da-da-da. And then my genetics, my ancestorhood, starts hearing all this thinking, well, I'm up to the task of that. And I can go out and do that. I can go and make more money, whatever it is that I have to do to survive. And that's what they do. They fight back and forth and they have this conversation. And sometimes it's very loud. And sometimes it's very noisy and very painful. This is the way it is. This is what we do. This is how it works. We create all of this depression inside of us that says, you know, we'll never win. We're a boat sailing out to sea to sink. And that's exactly what we are. No matter what we do, no matter how much we have or how successful we may think we are, there's always our friend death that is waiting for us, sickness. And there's always some despair or unhappiness in our life that we have to face. So we have this constant idea inside of us that we are here not to have problems. And if we're good people, if we're right people, if we're smart people, if we're wise people, whatever you want to put as the adjective, you don't have problems. This is simply not true. Jesus had problems. Buddha had problems. You have problems just having a body. That's what creates the problem. And the emotionality of the body responding to this conversation that is happening in my unconscious mind and going on in the back of my mind all the time, whether I know what's going on or not, is the issue. And it is the problem of the world. Because now there isn't enough power, there isn't enough money, there isn't enough whatever to not make me want to go out into the world and get more, more, more. That's all it's about, is getting more. So when you start to really look at it and think about it, the whole problem stems from this insecurity we have about ourselves based on a conversation that is going on in the back of our minds, our very back, Karen, in our unconscious mind, and we don't pay attention to it. We're so busy filling up our mind with pseudo solutions to the argument that we miss exactly what the argument is and what we're doing, and we miss the whole thing. If you've ever wondered why you have so many thoughts in your mind, if you've ever wondered why there are thoughts in your mind, the nature of the thoughts and the thoughts themselves and who is the author of these thoughts, where do they come from? Now you know. It comes from this argument back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's ugly. And it will only, it will only make your life miserable. Karen, that's what the world needs now. We need to understand our own psychology, and then we need to drop it. We need to understand our mechanism, and then understand it and drop it. And then we need to transcend. And we're not going to transcend, meaning have a higher point of view about life with the minds we have that are, they're stuck in the whole mechanism of this argument between DNA and genetics. It's just not going to change anything. We won't change. We will always revert back to the lowest common denominator as people. We will, as a populace, always go to the lowest common denominator. I was watching Superman. I was watching a documentary on it. And in the movie with Christopher Reeves, there is this narrative that is going on. There are good people. All they need is someone to show them the way, the light. We are not good people. And we have had the light. And we have snubbed it. We don't care. We simply don't care. And we are not good people. We fight. We seek vengeance. We're foolish. We do very ugly things to each other. We say ugly things to each other. We're not good people. So don't get that in your mind that, you know, somehow all of this, some good comes out. It doesn't. What comes out is more pride and selfishness in this conversation. And it's the source of my human mischief. Karen, I hope that helps. It's not something I think you can write a song to, though. Please forgive me. Namaste. What a little song. I'm sorry. Next one comes from Lester. He does not tell me where he lives. Why does this world incarnate the kinds of souls it does that seem very impetuous, mean-spirited, and ugly? I don't understand. I've been reading and I don't understand why certain kinds of souls are here and not better ones. Are we in hell, Lester? This is a long, I loved his email. He went on and on and on. I really loved it. Lester, we are in hell. This is hell. And it probably could get worse, but this is definitely a form of hell. Why do we incarnate the kinds of souls? Well, to me, we're soulless. A soul is something you transcend into. You become. Right now, the way I look at it is I'm an entity. An entity is a being that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's still under the influence of the conversation. And so as long as I am having this conversation in the back of my mind, then it will be the authority figure of my entire life, blah, blah. So I don't see us as, souls. I see us as entities. And the kind of entities that are drawn to this planet that incarnate into this world, we all have a lot to learn. We're all on the same page, as it were, when it comes to what we have to learn about our life. Now, I use the word learn. This is such a stupid word I just used, but it's the only one I know to use. We're actually here to transcend and spiritually evolve, but we're not going to do that because we're so ensconced in the idea of our survival, our body and what it's telling us, and the pride and the shame and all the other stuff that our bodies are constantly dealing out to us, telling us you got to do this, you got to be that, you got to have this, you got to have that kind of thing. So this whole thing goes on and on and on and on, and it runs ramshot over everything else in this world. So try to understand the kinds of entities that enter on into this planet are people like me and you of the begats. This begat that, begat that, begat that. You and I are the result in this body, taking on this body, of a mechanism that is going on in the universe, in this entire big sphere of life that we are in right now. And it is the begat this, begats that, begats that. My mother and father were not someone that you literally chose, but they were the entities that were the perfect people, Ed and Jean, to have me incarnate through their body and their genetics into this world. It was perfect because the mentality and the psychology and the platitudes and longitudes that make up my heritage were perfect for this entity that has been named Greg. Now, if you only live out your life according to the manner of the entity that lives within you, then you're going to have difficulties in your life. And I have difficulties and you have difficulties. So the kinds of entities that are drawn into this world are the ones that have typically a great deal of misunderstanding about the meaning of their life. They don't have a lot of interest, if any at all, in authentic love. They are entities that are more concerned about survival than they are about evolution or spiritual transcendence. They are by nature extremely selfish, unkind, bewildered. They have tremendous indifference towards the bigger picture of life and what the meaning of life is. In the bottom line, they simply don't care. They just don't care. And they're easily depressed, easily put wayward. They have all sorts of reasons for not loving, forgiving, and giving. They have 100 million reasons why they don't meditate or can't meditate or refuse to meditate or whatever. They're intellectually inclined. They love war. They believe in the idea of fighting for quote-unquote rights, whether it be for a nation, a race, or a gender. They're always up for a good fight, no matter what. And they are always in the oppression of their fears, their DNA fears, and they try to answer it through the genetics of a heritage, of a lineage, I should say, of human beings that basically have done nothing with their lives but fight, scream, yell, and make war. That's the kinds of entities that come here. This is the place for them. And if you look at the history of the world, even a brief history of the world, you will see it's been nothing but fighting and war. Oliver Stone made a really interesting series called The History of the World, and you should watch it. It's on I think YouTube now. You can get the whole series there. I saw it about 4 or 5 years ago. It's an amazing thing he's made. You will find out the history of this country, the basic history of the world, how we got where we are, and why we continue to be where we are. And at the end of this gory, long, interesting, intriguing series of miscues that we are as entities, we've had people come, believe it or not, you don't know about them because they don't make history, people who have come to help and become peacemakers in this world who were totally ignored by the establishment and the government and the world in general. Anyway, you can find out about them in this history of the world. And the interesting aspect of it all is that at the end, Oliver Stone says, why can't we just love one another? It is just that that would cure all of this. So we're not interested in that, Lester. We're really not. Your little local minister and your local, do-gooder, whatever it is that's around, you just think, how quickly they can become angry and hostile. It's even in the best of us. Even Gandhi found that out about himself, that he could rise to a tremendous hate and anger. Mother Teresa talks about it. So we have all these, contemporary heroes come to find out they're struggling with the same thing we are because they have a human body. And that's part of the issue. It's a long and involved story. But there you are, Lester. I hope I answered your question. Please forgive me. Hey, namaste. The last one comes from Tim in San Diego. I don't know this Tim. I know lots of Tims in San Diego, but this isn't one I know. Greg, you say love is the answer. If it is, why is it so hard to learn? Tim, love is not an answer. An answer would denote the idea that there is a question, and there is no question. When we live in the body as the body, when I live in the identity of my body that is called Greg, I lose love. I lose that dimension of love. I lose the presence of love. Because the body is screaming and yelling about its desires, its ambitions, its needs, its wants, and it never really finds the substance of living. It just goes on and on and on with these insatiable needs that can't be, so to speak, cured. You don't learn about love. You can't learn about it. What's there to learn? You can only become it. It is nothing that can be taught. It has to be caught, as the old saying goes. Love is an evolution. Love is the evolution of dropping the misdemeanors of my ego, my pride, my vanity, my genetics, my DNA. It is about transcendence. You and I transcend into love. We don't learn about it. You can't learn about it because love is not something that is a thought. Love has no thought to it. Love is the ebb, the flow. It is an energy and an energetic. And when it is invited into a person, the person disappears. And there is only love. Most of us don't want that person to disappear. We want that person to be the recipient, the author, and the giver of love. And it can't be done. Now, if you want to call emotional passion love, if you want to call emotionality love, well, then you can have a field day on it. But to have authentic love, to have an authentic life filled with love, well, you have to want nothing with all of your heart. You're going to have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. You're going to need to have a different perspective and a different take on it. You're going to have to want to experience a love that is greater than your belief about it. And to get to this place means that you have to have a sense inside of you of what it means to serve love. Love is the evolution of consciousness And that is what it's really all about, consciousness. You're going to have to spend a great deal of time in meditation and learning how to be conscious outside of meditation about everything that you think, say, and do. It's just the way it is. It is a practice. It is a way of life, as I say, a style of life. And it can only be done by those who are profoundly sincere. I hope you are. Thank you, Tim. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, I hope that helped you a little bit, this little potpourri on what the world needs now. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Please forgive me. Namaste.